Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. It's a Thursday. Call a friend, say he's on the air. News, info, comments, opinion. Right after this. I don't know, I was talking at church last night about the things that seem so really important to us. And by the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, zippo, not a big deal at all. How can that be? Seems so important right now. You know what's really important? The things that are unseen. We concern ourselves in life with a bunch of junk, really. Yeah. You know, the things that we think are important in life quite often are not. Satan has a tendency to do that to us. Yeah, he and his demonic spirits work us over to the degree that it's not that important. What's important? Seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, seeing how we can serve mankind, reading our Bible and praying and soul winning or witnessing, whatever you want to call it. Those are the really important things in life because it goes for all eternity. A basketball game, baseball game, football game. Who really cares, my friend? It will give you something to think about as you get on with your Thursday. What in the world is going on? Oh, this thing's a mess. FBI employees who spoke out against a politicized rot, that's what they called it, politicized rot within the FBI, were suspended or had their security clearances revoked. Does this surprise you? The House Judiciary Committee and subcommittees on the weaponization of the federal government, they've come out with some tough stuff. The committee's released an interim staff report today, actually, revealing new whistleblower testimony from several current and former FBI employees that exposes the abuse and the misconduct within the FBI. The disclosures from these FBI employees highlight egregious abuse, misallocation of law enforcement resources, and misconduct within the leadership of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The reports of the FBI whistleblowers describe the FBI's alleged retaliatory conduct against them after making protected disclosures about what they believed in good faith to be wrong conduct in the FBI. Two whistleblowers, Steve Friend, a former FBI special agent, and Marcus Allen, an FBI operations specialist, had their security clearances revoked this month and expected to appear for testimony before the weaponization subcommittee today. Go get them. We're finding the bad guys in every area of our government. And I continue to ask that question, who can you trust? Another FBI story. The Ring doorbell camera caught two FBI agents speaking with a pro-life activist's mama in a recently released video. It shows the agents identified as Ashley Roberts and Kathleen Brown visiting the childhood home of progressive anti-abortion uprising member Elise Ketch. This was in April the 18th, 2:45 in the afternoon. Though Ketch no longer resides in Woodbridge, Virginia, the FBI agents were at mom's house looking for the daughter. We need to speak with her regarding some information that was sent to us. She continues, she's not in any trouble. We just have some information we need to ask her about. When Ketch's mother asked if she could take pictures of their badges, unfortunately, we're not allowed to have anyone take our picture. After requesting contact information, Ketch's mom then asked what the reason was behind the visit. They declined to answer. We would tell you all that information, but like I said, she's not in any trouble. Just out of respect for her, we'd like to speak with her first, and then if she wants to share information with you, that's up to her. Additional footage shows Ketch's mom calling Elise to alert her about the FBI. Mom, don't tell them anything, she says. So what's the point in all of this? It's called harassment. FBI visits the home of the pro-life activist mom, she says was meant just to intimidate. Christians, conservatives, whoever you are out there, don't back down. The FBI, they're in trouble in so many ways. Just a reminder, it's called the weaponization of the federal government against you. Going to happen next week? That's what they say. After months of buildup and speculation, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida expected to officially enter the 2024 White House race next week. The popular two-term conservative governor will file formal paperwork with the FEC next week to declare his candidacy for President of the United States, according to sources familiar with, well, DeSantis. The news was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. DeSantis is in. You knew that. Dateline San Marcos, Texas, and this should serve as a wake-up call to Christians across this country. You're going to see a lot more of this. What? Well, here's a Hail Satan for you. Some guy who's a part of the satanic church there delivered the invocation at the beginning of a city council meeting, San Marcos, Texas, demanding freedom from the arcane doctrines and proclaiming, Hail Satan, Lucifer, Aligos Longinus, who describes himself as a Satanist, was allowed to deliver his thoughts to the San Marcos City Council in Hays County, according to Citizens Defending Freedom. That's a grassroots organization. He is a member of the Austin Satanic Temple. He urged people to stand now, unfettered by arcane doctrines, and told them to embrace Luciferian impulse and eat from the tree of knowledge. Oh, good grief. Okay, quickly we run over to, a quick stop in Moronville. An alleged looter bragged about all of his ill-gotten gain on social media, but it's apparent that he didn't get away with what he might have thought he was getting away with. The suspect, apparently based near Santa Monica, California, shared a video on Twitter featuring, boxes and boxes of stolen merchandise. What an idiot. Twitter user Santa Monica Problems tweeted the video, captioning it, "One of the looters bragging on social media about all the merchandise that he stole. Twitter, do you work? Let's find this guy and expose this guy." After the video went viral with 989 retweets at the time of, this radio program, KTTV's Bill McLuhan tweeted the video with his own remarks. He wrote, "Not only is this clown stupid enough to show his face while he's bragging about all the merchandise he looted in Santa Monica, he also reveals his location. Someone knows who this guy is and where he is. Do your thing, Internet." Hours later, the TV host revealed the suspect had been located. I mean, come on now. Are we? Yep, this is Moronville. Hey, big shakeup at Fox News. Yeah, I guess Hannity is moving into Tucker Carlson's old spot. And Jesse Waters, you ever watch him? He currently hosts one of Fox's top-rated shows at 7 o'clock, Greg Gutfeld. He hosts a highly rated late-night show at 11 p.m., The Five at 5 p.m. Hannity, meanwhile, broke the record for the longest-running cable news primetime host in April of 2022, eclipsing Larry King at 25 years, 6 months, and 15 days. Yeah, they're announcing new schedules, all kinds of changes happening at Fox News. No decision has been made yet on a new primetime lineup, and there are multiple scenarios. So somehow it's going to be Hannity and Gutfeld and Jesse Walters. We'll see. Okay, loading up the six-shooter here. Texas Children's Hospital continues to perform gender transition services on adolescent kids, including administering puberty blockers, with the Texas Attorney General deems, he does, child abuse. Despite pledging to stop them back in March, a conservative writer and respected researcher who has appeared with Tucker Carlson's learned all of this stuff, "I've obtained exclusive whistleblower documents showing that despite the public statements, the Houston-based Children's Hospital, the largest in this country, has secretly continued to perform transgender medical interventions, including the use of implantable puberty blockers on minors." The words of Christopher Rufo reporting. Really? The redacted medical records supplied by the whistleblower site Richard Roberts, a University of Virginia-trained endocrinologist and assistant professor at Baylor Medicine, who co-presented the Grand Rounds as performing transgender medical procedures on minors in Houston. Where is my gun?
Well, I encourage you to be a part of my Facebook page. It's really a part of the good, the bad, the ugly in America, and all that Zuckerberg represents there at Facebook. Here's one part that's really true. Imagine the phone company. You have a phone service there, and they cancel your service because they didn't like what you and your friends were talking about. That is basically Facebook today. Many of my friends aren't there anymore. I've been contacting them saying, hey, I haven't seen you on Facebook, and we haven't seen you either. You're not on my page, and that's how they do it. So a lot of us can still get together there on Greg Patton's Facebook page, but, oh, they're doing their thing. Both the media and all of these social platforms, they can control everything. Sure they can.
Well, I had a fantastic interview, actually, yesterday with Pastor Kerry Gordon, 28 years, Cornerstone World Outreach Church in Des Moines, Iowa. Thanks to you, enemies within the church, we did an interview on that two-hour motion picture that he has come up with. And he has just talked about cultural and church Marxism, how the church is changing. Oh, yeah, pastors apologizing because, well, they talked negatively about homosexuality, and it's not a big deal. That's the head of the Southern Baptist Convention saying that. Changed his mind after several years. Al Mohler, I've read several of his books. He is a great writer, very articulate, and what in the world is going on? Yeah, we need to take care of this. Reparations, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, apologize because you are white, all that kind of stuff is happening in America today. By the way, this interview is coming up on Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Church, actually two of them. This guy's a brilliant mind, and they've never had one lawsuit about all of the things they talk about, with George Soros got his hands deep into the Southern Baptist Convention. What a mess. Every time I interview these guys, who I think he spent 3.5 years interviewing great minds around the world and came up with enemies in the church. You've got this. If you see nothing else via motion picture this year, get that from Southwest Radio Church. Enemies within the church.
You pray about this one, my friend. You are a problem. I mean, white pastors coming out saying, we're the problem. White people are the problem, and Satan's doing a good job. His demon's doing a good job. The George Soros of the world doing a job, spending their billions to divide the United States of America. It's coming, and so is he.
And finally, who said that? And I have been immersed in this now for years. No one cares when you bring up Muhammad or Buddha or Krishna. But the moment you say Jesus, people get real uncomfortable. Demons get real uncomfortable. That should tell you something. And here's one I didn't know. The last day of this year, it's going to be 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Really? And finally, here's the old cowboy. A lot of folks ain't going to be ready for what's a-fixin' to happen. Where's my Bible? Life 101, right after this. So what is a-fixin' to happen? We're writing another book, The New America, A Flood of Evil. Already, things I'm writing about are dated. Really hard to write something like this. Things are changing so fast, and if the experts, the Christian experts, are correct with artificial intelligence, the weaponization of the federal government against people, Christian Marxism moving into the church and taking over the Christian church in America today. Wow. Should we be ready? You need to be praying, my friend, and yes, getting ready. Tell everybody all about it, all about your faith in Jesus Christ and how to be saved, because she's coming down the wire. The curtain is falling, my friend. Jesus is coming soon.
Have you ever wondered this? Does the Christian life really work? Many people ask that question long after they're saved. You look at the scriptures, you look at your life, and whoa, this doesn't match up at all. And even though most people have the idea that the Christian life does not work out the way the Bible says it does, could you be content with doubting what the Word of God says? People will fast, pray, confess to the Lord everything they could think to acknowledge to Him, and still something seems to be missing. Is that you? See, Satan works on your mind, and that's the big problem. Your greatest troublemaker, the flesh. The main cause of defeat for all believers is the propensity to sin. We receive a new nature the moment we're saved, but Scripture reveals that because of the way our thinking has been programmed, if you will, we retain certain longings that don't fit into being a child of God. And these attitudes and desires come and they go the rest of our life, but we no longer are defined by what we are with these things. No, we're new creatures in Christ, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. There's a battle being waged, flesh, spirit, every minute of every day, and the only way to win is by allowing Jesus Christ to live His life through us. Someone wrote these interesting words about Almighty God. Among the first glimpses that you get of God is that of being a seeker. Adam, where art thou? Genesis 3:9. In commenting upon his question to his Bible class, a teacher said, "You can never be a preacher if you read this as though God were a policeman. You read it as though God were a broken-hearted father looking for a lost child." You remember the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15? Sure you do. With compassion, Dad welcomed his son back with a great celebration. A pastor told of a time when he overheard one of his children admonishing the other child, "You must be good or Dad won't love you." Calling the boy to him, he said, "Son, that isn't really true. But you won't love us if we're bad, will you, Dad?" "Yes, I'm going to love you whether you are good or bad," Pierce explained. "But there's going to be a difference in my love, and this is so good, my Christian friend. When you are good, I'm going to love you with a love that makes me so glad. And when you're not good, I will love you with a love that hurts me." That's a similar picture of God as revealed in the story of the prodigal son. The Bible says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And this is really good. How do you really describe in words God who is love? I'm not sure there's any way you can do that. God is not the essence of love. No, He's not the spirit of love. God is not the extreme example of love. God is not the personification of love. He's not the epitome of love. God is love. And we will know when we come into His presence. You know, He crowns us with Jesus, the best love, the excellency of love, the greatest, the highest, the supremacy. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son, atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is so very, very good. Matthew 10:29-31. When I was very young in the faith, just been saved, I was so fascinated by Matthew 10:29-31. My dad used to hate sparrows. It was just an anathema to our property. Dad was always battling them. Such a lowly, worthless creature. And the Bible says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father." I mean, God loves me that much. He knows everything about me. A bird, a lowly sparrow, does not fall to the ground to this very day without God taking note. Apart from His will, not going to happen. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, my Christian friend. You are worth far more than a whole pack of sparrows. An old woman, hearing of some preacher who dwelt on the doctrine of predestination at Borum, said, "Ah, I've long settled that point, for if God had not chosen me before I was born,
I'm sure he would have seen nothing in me to have chosen me afterward. Isn't that good? Remember, there was nothing good in us that would have caused God to choose us as his children. You didn't get saved. He didn't save your wretched soul because you're so good and so worthwhile to him and so needed by him. Remember Romans 3:10, 11, and 12. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's not one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. And that's it. We've all turned away from God, but because of who he is, he still loves us. Now remember this, never be afraid of God. Let me repeat, never be afraid of God unless you're sinning against him. Always believe that behind what seems to be difficult and mysterious times, there is God's heart, as true and tender as the heart of the sweetest and gentlest woman that ever pressed her child to her breast. F.B. Meyer said this, all the love in all the woman's hearts together compared to the love of his heart is as the glow of a lightning bug compared to the sun at noonday. God's love is the greatest, the supreme love. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Jesus Christ died for us. The crown, the caring of God, the crown of love is the fact that Christ paid for our sins on that cross, and there is just no greater love than that. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another, right? No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And since God loves, so should we love, right? A man about to enter the hospital saw two white-coated doctors searching through the flower beds. Excuse me, said, have you guys lost something? No, replied one of the doctors. We're doing a heart transplant for an IRS agent, and we want to find a suitable stone. Really? We live in an interesting time, don't we? Problems? Of course. I like to call them opportunities, but yeah, they are. There's problems. Plenty of them. Could it be that, and I think this is true in America today, that our, even in the church, our greatest problem in all of life is our heart. Matthew 12, 33 and 34, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We all desperately need a heart transplant today. We need the heart of Jesus. And as we acquire that through faith and study and surrender and submission, we're going to love, 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 just like Jesus did. Amen.
It was awful. The doctor walks into the examining room, puts his hand on the patient's shoulder and said, I've got some really bad news. You're on your way out. You don't have much time left. Oh, no, says the patient. How long do I have? 10, says the doctor. 10, cries the panicked patient. 10 what? 10 days? 10 weeks? 10 months? 9. 8. Life is short, getting shorter every day, isn't it, my friend? You might as well, hey, grab a jelly-filled donut. How's that sound? Hello, world, comes to your way each day at this time on this local Christian radio station, and we're so glad that it does, and we're so glad that you are here. Thank you so much for contacting us via Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G-P-A-T-T-E-N.
And some of you have been in contact with our new email there, gregshelloworld@gmail.com. Pretty simple. gregshelloworld@gmail.com. I love coming to you each day at this time on this station. And that's the way it is. Thursday, May the 18th, 2023. I am Greg Patton. God bless. Have a wonderful day.